AI governance has a perception problem in that people associate it with paperwork, with checkbox exercises, and with slowing down innovation. But a properly designed governance program is an accelerant to innovation rather than an inhibitor to it.
Welcome to the Business of AI in Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Kaiser. Our mission is to discuss practical insights and share knowledge on how to navigate the transformative technology of AI. It's important to understand how AI can be used safely and ethically while revolutionizing patient care, streamlining operations, and enhancing medical research. On previous episodes of our podcast, we discussed AI governance with Ferrum Health's Pelu Tran, how hospitals can move beyond pilot projects to real AI transformation with governance as the catalyst. We also had Mary Beth Chalk, co-founder of Beekeeper AI, telling us how privacy-enhancing technologies and secure collaboration platforms are reshaping AI-driven healthcare. Today, we want to move AI governance to a higher level of attention. We welcome Walter Haydock, founder of StackAware, the leader in AI risk management and compliance. So, Walter, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Walter, I don't think we can find a topic more interesting to cuss or discuss today than AI risk management and compliance. It's such a big topic, and companies have, they've got many perspectives depending on their position in the AI world. And I know you're a leader and an educator. I know this. I've actually experienced your YouTube channel, and it clearly defines you as a significant subject matter expert on AI management systems. And on one of your posts, you say, governance has a perception problem. Give us a quick overview. Why?
Especially in heavily regulated industries like healthcare, AI governance has a perception problem in that people associate it with paperwork, with checkbox exercises, and with slowing down innovation. That can certainly be justified in some circumstances, but a properly designed governance program is an accelerant to innovation rather than an inhibitor to it. So what I talk about is AI acceleration. That allows companies to deploy AI systems to tackle high-risk, high-reward situations in industries like healthcare, while managing that risk, keeping it within organizational tolerances, and at the same time, letting providers, clinicians, take advantage of new technologies, new capabilities to bring those to patients.
Well, I think we can all agree that this AI governance now, it's in an early stage in development. And I know that we're going to lean in pretty deep here to one of your favorite topics, which is this ISO 42001. Just the name sounds powerful to me, ISO 42001. And for the benefit of our audience, we'll go deeper in this a little bit, but it is the world's first international certifiable standard for managing artificial intelligence. It really establishes this thing called AIMS, the AI management system. But before we go deep into that, because I know we want to cover a lot of what that is, let's survey the landscape just a little bit for the benefit of our listeners. And there's so many options out here being presented for compliance. This seems really fragmented to me. You've got the National Institute of Standards. You've got the American National Standards Institute. You've got the Coalition for Health and AI. And then you got ISO. So where do you start?
I break down AI compliance frameworks into three separate categories. The first category would be voluntary standards and frameworks like the NIST AI Risk Management Framework or the OWASP Top 10 for LLM applications. These provide best practices for companies that are deploying artificial intelligence. I will say for the US government, the NIST AI RMF is mandatory, but that's an asterisk there. But they are not certifiable. You can't get a stamp or approval that you are adhering to them. Second of all would be certifiable standards like ISO 42001, which is, as you mentioned, a global standard for building an AI management system. There are also things like the HITRUST AI Security Certification, which also, as you might expect, is specifically focused on the security and privacy aspects of AI use narrowly, not the broader risk picture. And then finally, there are mandatory laws and regulations like the European Union AI Act, like Colorado's SB 189. And these are things that you do not have a choice of whether you're going to comply or not. If you fall in scope, you must comply. If you don't, you will face penalties. And this is interesting because with these standards, you can only be compliant in the sense that no one has conducted an enforcement action against you. And you really only find out that you're non-compliant when such an action occurs. So I break down the three types of AI governance frameworks into the voluntary standards, the certifiable frameworks, and then the laws and regulations.
Some of the laws versus compliance, I'm sure even New York City, they have a law, right? And like you mentioned, Colorado's got a law. We're here in Texas. I'm sure we've got our version of these laws. But the United States in general, we're pretty tolerant here right now. Are we grasping to put hard laws into place, or are we just letting our general legislation rules of don't do anything bad stick into place?
The United States has a very fractured landscape when it comes to AI governance law. We've taken a much different approach than Europe, for example, which has the EU AI Act. I think that law has its own problems, but one of them is not the fractured landscape of regulation that we have here in the US. You alluded to Texas. I think Texas has actually taken the best approach when it comes to AI governance with the Texas Responsible AI Governance Act. It specifically prohibits things that pretty much everyone agrees are bad. For example, intentional discrimination against protected classes or child exploitation. Pretty much everyone agrees that we should not be doing those things with AI or otherwise. But it doesn't levy a very complex set of requirements on companies that are using AI to prove certain things or undergo certain types of audits. And I think it's quite flexible. I think it would be a good framework for a national approach. Colorado, on the other hand, they've already gone through one entire full revision of their AI governance law, the Colorado Artificial Intelligence Act. Previously in 2024, they passed the SB 205 law, which laid a very heavy set of requirements on companies that were using artificial intelligence. It established a standard of care to avoid algorithmic discrimination. And quite frankly, it did illegally attempt to exert Colorado's jurisdiction outside of the state, levying requirements on out-of-state developers, things like that. So based on some legal challenges and some internal reconsideration at the state level, they have now moved forward with SB 189, which fully replaced that law. It's a little bit lighter weight. I think it removed some of the constitutional questions in terms of extraterritorial application, but it is still quite a heavyweight law, and it does require a set of disclosures by deployers and developers of AI systems, and also has a set of requirements regarding human in the loop or human review of decisions that are made using AI systems. So in the US, we have a very fractured approach to AI governance. I think we would benefit from a national framework for AI governance. The president has put forward, it's not quite a law, it's a set of principles about AI governance, some of which I think are a good idea. And I'd love to see some concrete legislation at the federal level that would preempt these state laws and give businesses more clarity on how to use AI securely and responsibly.
So when we look overseas at Europe with the European Union and their AI law that's in place. It's not a suggestion. It's got some teeth to it. And it was established early on. Has it been modified? Is it really a hardcore initiative right now? And are they leaders because of that? Or are we behind? What's your perception on that?
The European Union passed the AI Act in August of 2024, and it set in place a series of deadlines based on the risk posed by AI systems. 6 months after passage, there was a set of prohibited AI use cases related to social scoring, to long distance facial recognition that were outright prohibited. Those requirements remain on the books. However, it established another class of permitted but high risk AI use cases where the restrictions technically, according to the law, are still set to come into effect in August of this year, 2 years after the original passage. Now, the EU, in my opinion, has lost major credibility and spent a lot of political capital by very vehemently saying they would not roll back these restrictions, and then did a very abrupt 180 in November of 2025, where they decided that they, in fact, would delay these high-risk AI restrictions. There's been political agreement in the EU to move this deadline to December of 2027. An interesting quirk of how the EU political system works is that there can be political agreement without necessarily being firm text in place saying that the deadline has moved, but it looks like that there is going to be an official movement of the deadline to approximately 16 months later from when it was originally planned. Now, the EU made a lot of mistakes during the rollout, and this is why they decided to move back the deadlines. In the EU, there's something called harmonized standards, which are essentially playbooks for how to comply with a law. It's like regulation in the US, a little different because they're not necessarily developed by the executive branch of the EU, the EU Commission. They're put out by private, by nonprofit bodies, and then they're officially recognized by the EU. Zero of those harmonized standards are officially approved in the EU. And that was a major reason why they decided to move the deadline for high-risk AI system compliance requirements, because basically no one knew how to comply with the regulation or knew what they would need to do to get a presumption of conformity under the act. So I think Europe has damaged its credibility quite a bit because they were so aggressive in putting in place these laws, but then did not give companies the tools that they would need to comply with the regulations. So I think Europe made the same mistake twice because they did not condition the 2027 deadline, December, on the release of these harmonized standards. And the harmonized standards bodies are years behind schedule. So it's quite possible that we hit the exact same problem again in December 2027. And I'm sorry to see this happening, but that's unfortunately where we are.
I can tell you right away, here we look at the United States, within the states, within the cities. We go over to look at Europe and we see another set of circumstances there. All of our states seem like they're becoming their own little AI laboratory trying to figure out what to do with governance. So let's move this to the higher level. ISO, people say it stands for the International Standards Organization, but actually the word ISO comes from the Greek word isos, meaning equal. And there's in the ISO organization, there's 170 national member bodies now. And it got started after World War II back in 47 because people wanted to have some type of framework. And some of the things that I grew up with that I thought was pretty interesting was ISO standard for quality, that ISO 9001. And then they came out with one for cybersecurity. And now they're coming up one here for governance. So is ISO the right place for this governance start to evolve? Is that the right venue, so to speak?
Bottom line, yes. I think using ISO standards as a framework for managing risk throughout a variety of different industries and verticals is a good idea. And these standards have been tried and tested over time. There are certainly some drawbacks for using ISO standards. In my opinion, they are somewhat rigid in their requirements. And if organizations implement them in an improper way, they can essentially create a large compliance burden without actually meaningfully reducing risk. And I've seen organizations that have implemented ISO standards in a way that they essentially have two sets of policies. They have the audited policies that they show the external certifying body, and then they have the internal policies and procedures that they use on a daily basis. That's the wrong way to do it, and I would highly advise against doing that. If you're using an ISO standard properly, you're using it as a framework for making decisions for managing risk inside the organization. And when deployed correctly, I think ISO standards are a highly effective tool for doing so.
Quick note from our sponsor, Will Call. Will Call is a hands-free voice-activated call system used today in care facilities across the country, with a home version rolling out in a limited early access phase. It supports people who can't use traditional nurse call buttons. With conditions like ALS, spinal cord injuries, stroke recovery, or advanced Parkinson's. Learn more at willcallnurse.com. Back to the episode.
I remember back in the quality movement years ago, when that was first starting to really branch out, Edwards Deming and those guys in Toyota, and their big push was you've got to get the executive leadership behind it. Otherwise, it will not cascade down. It will not become part of your culture, become part of what you're doing. Is that a similar scenario here? With this new standard, ISO 42001, it's basically an AI management system. Is this going to be a checkbox with a lot of work and a lot of paperwork, or is there a bigger mission behind this?
Executive buy-in is absolutely critical to having an effective ISO 42001 program development. If you don't have key business leaders involved in the process, first of all, you likely won't even be able to achieve certification because the standard requires top management to participate in regular reviews of the management system. And if they're not doing that, then you will not achieve certification. On a deeper level, if organizations aren't giving their teams the right resources, they are not backing up policies with disciplinary action if they're not being followed, then there's going to be a huge challenge in actually implementing the management system as a risk management tool. So executive buy-in is 100% necessary for an effective ISO 42001 rollout.
Okay, you made a business out of this early on, saw this coming as something pretty significant with StackAware, and you basically focus in on trying to help people get into this process of doing a higher level set of governance. Are companies embracing this, Walter?
ISO 42001 is a young standard. It was only published at the end of 2023, so a little over 2 years old at this point. And it is a growing standard. Many companies are integrating artificial intelligence management systems on top of their existing management systems. You mentioned the ISO standard for cybersecurity, ISO 27001. In the healthcare space, I can share one of my clients, Elios Health. They have a joint 27001, 42001 integrated management system. We worked with them to get them through the certification process. So it is a standard that is being developed and implemented in the healthcare space. I think it's quite useful for answering customer questions regarding responsible AI use in highly sensitive scenarios such as healthcare.
Are there certain organizations that are pushing this? Who is insisting on it? Are the people buying these AI systems saying, I want you to prove to me that you're part of this 42001 ISO standard? You saw that happen with security. You saw that happen with quality. It became a checkbox. If you're not part of this, we're not moving forward with you. Has it reached that level? How many years does it take to get to that level where it really becomes a strong requirement?
I'm already starting to see contractual addenda that require ISO 42001 certification by a given date. So it's definitely being forced on vendors by their customers. There's also the broader regulatory set of requirements that are coming into force. You mentioned New York, Colorado, EU. All these different regulations are making it difficult for companies to effectively comply without bending over backwards or creating multiple different compliance programs. So ISO 42001 is itself a very effective way to address multiple requirements, whether they be regulatory, contractual, business. And I think it's an excellent system for wrapping together lots of different specific requirements from different jurisdictions or for different use cases, for different systems, and making it a coherent program rather than a scattershot set of different policies and procedures that you put together to meet all these different requirements.
Does this ISO standard fit everybody, a small startup company that is involved with AI? Would they be encouraged to start to embrace this process of getting certified versus someone like a Microsoft that's got huge organization? Is this fit just for a particular group of folks, or is it a broadband solution?
ISO 42001 is appropriate for organizations of any size. At the absolute smallest end, you have StackAware, my company, which is itself ISO 42001 certified. And then on the larger end, we have companies like Microsoft, where portions of their scope are certified against ISO 42001. For example, their certification covers the Azure AI Foundry. Now, it doesn't cover the entire company, it doesn't cover every location, all hundreds of thousands of employees that they have, but it's appropriate for companies of all different sizes. In terms of sector, I think there are three types of companies that would benefit most. One would be AI-powered startups, such as Stackaware, that have bandwidth to implement basically one standard. They can use ISO 42001 to capture a bunch of different requirements related to security, privacy, responsible AI use. Additionally, there are companies that train on customer data. For example, DocuSign, Slack, Zoom, all these companies had media problems when they rolled out AI training policies or changed their terms and conditions without an effective explanation behind that. So those types of companies that are training or would like to train on customer data would benefit from ISO 42001 to give their consumers a warm and fuzzy that they are deploying AI responsibly, that they are training, if doing so on their data, using safeguards and avoiding any abuses of that data. And then the third type of company that would benefit heavily from ISO 42001 readiness or compliance would be heavily regulated industries like healthcare, where there are a lot of concerns about patient data, both on the integrity and confidentiality side, but also financial services, financial technology, where regulators from that angle are concerned about the validity of AI-related outputs.
Okay. It appears to me that this is not a one-and-done situation. You don't get certified and, hey, put on the badge and show everybody that you're certified. There's got to be a pretty significant level of sustaining this whole process of having an AI management system. Does that require a lot of people, a lot of money going forward? What's your take on that so far?
ISO 42001 requires a sustained effort to ensure compliance, and the ISO standard itself requires continual improvement. So that means the first time you get certified versus the recertification audit, the external certification body is going to expect improvements in certain or all areas to maintain that certification over time. Now, with that said, the resourcing that you dedicate to your AI management system should not be just for the purposes of maintaining the certification. If you're using the standard correctly, you're using it as your operating system for the business. You're using your risk assessments to drive decisions about which items to accept, transfer, mitigate, or avoid. You're using your measurement and monitoring capabilities to create key performance indicators for the business to understand, are you on track? Are you off track? What do you need to do to fix these issues? And you're using your internal audit program to make sure that you are meeting your internal requirements, your contractual obligations, your regulatory needs, and then also that you are performing as well as you could, that your AI management system is optimally structured for your business and for the threat environment. So there are requirements to continually maintain your management system, but if it's done correctly, they're not wasted investments. They are not simply checkboxes that you can forget about when you're done. They can actually improve the performance of your business and help manage risk.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger value proposition for sure. So it's not the certification audit that costs you money. It's really the internal effort to keep this thing going, to keep it maintained and keep it doing what it's supposed to do for you. When you deal with a small company, do you say you can expect to spend $50,000 to get this certification? Or if you're a big company, you might be spending $5 million to get this certification. What's the encouragement when you go out and engage with people that want to go down this path?
How much ISO 42001 certification costs will depend on quite a bit. It will depend on whether you have existing ISO management systems in place, because if so, that makes things substantially easier. It will depend on the size of the company, how many employees, how many systems, how many jurisdictions are in scope. It will also depend on the sensitivity of the use cases. Are you using AI for marketing content? If so, then your risk will be less than if you're using it for human resources decisions or if you're using it for patient care decisions. So there are a lot of different factors that will drive the cost of ISO 42001 readiness. And certainly many organizations choose to outsource some of that process. You cannot fully outsource AI management system operation because you need that top management involvement. But a lot of it you can outsource on the risk assessment, on the measurement and monitoring, on the internal audit side of things. And many companies do work with Stackware to do exactly that.
Good. So do you think that as this ISO movement catches on and starts to gain momentum, will the U.S. government lean into that a little bit and say, hey, we're supporting that concept as well? Does the government ever start to bias itself, so to speak, to a preferential way of certification and governance?
Colorado, when it passed its SB 205 bill in 2024, actually specifically called out compliance with ISO 42001 as providing safe harbor against regulatory action under certain circumstances. They have unfortunately since removed that reference in the latest bill, SB 189. But I think using ISO 42001 as a framework for effective AI management system governance is a good idea. Some key things to understand that would require some further customization are that ISO 42001 does not tell you what risks are acceptable or what are not. So certain systems that are commonly used in the United States, for example, related to workforce monitoring or biometric identification at a hospital or something like that, might be banned in Europe. And an organization could be operating in both of those jurisdictions. It would just need to tailor its management system to identify those jurisdiction-specific requirements related to artificial intelligence use.
So your potential clients and customers, would they already be involved with something like CHAI, the Coalition for Healthcare AI? And they want to go to the next step? Is there kind of like an introductory way of getting more up to speed on this? I know that it's all about education. To make change happens, you have to get people educated to see the value of what's going on with something like a standard. And it takes time and encouragement and more education and seminars and things like that. Is that what you typically do with Stackware, is basically start the education process with them, or do they jump right in to a certification mode?
Stackware often works with customers over a long period of time to go through a process of education, to build readiness to the standard without necessarily undergoing that external certification audit. And then when the time comes, helping them through that process with an independent auditor that can grant the ISO 42001 certification. So it certainly is a process. It does require education. I think using ISO 42001 as a framework at the early stages of your AI governance program development is a good idea. That doesn't mean you need to build everything to spec for the standard, but if you start building certain things to spec and then wait until later to build everything else, you'll be set up for success. You'll have a way of doing business that is compliant with the standard. And if and when you decide to pursue certification, you will be much more able to do so and at a lower cost.
Yeah. From an educational perspective, have you found a place where this gets seeded into the university level where we can start getting the ideas of an ISO standard for governance in place? Is any initiative taking place along that line? I think that would be a great place to get all the new people that are joining the AI world today. Probably this is not high on their priority list, but to get them educated up to speed on that would be a good move. Do you see that happening at all?
I haven't seen any dedicated educational efforts with respect to ISO 42001 at the university level. I know that the Trump administration has proposed some broader workforce education initiatives around AI. I don't think they've specifically called out 42001, but I would suggest that humbly as a recommendation for inclusion into any potential future curriculum. I will say that a company called Mastermind, they are a Stackware partner. They are an independent auditor that grants certifications. They have put out a series of courses on the ISO standards, including 42001. When they first release them, they are free, which is great. And then they do eventually start charging for them, but they're relatively inexpensive. Whether you're in university or not, whether you have a college degree or not, there are a lot of options out there to get trained up on these standards in a cost-effective way. And I would certainly recommend that to folks who are interested in moving into the AI governance and risk management space.
Well, Walter, like I said, when we started off, we could cuss and discuss this for a long period of time. I'm so grateful that you have embraced this and that you are taking this on and educating us on this line. There's still so much confusion and there's so much to be done. So what's your final words of encouragement here? What's the first step you would advise people if they want to go down this path? What can you tell them about Stack Aware and how to get started?
The first thing I would say is to any company that's starting to use artificial intelligence, which is basically every company, by the way, is to have a policy in place regarding use of AI systems. This doesn't need to meet all the ISO 42001 requirements, but it should do things like establish a risk appetite, make clear to employees what is acceptable and what is not. It can be incorporated into existing guidance too. It doesn't need to be a standalone policy, but making sure that you have clear guidance for everyone is a really important first step. You can then move into things like asset inventory and doing risk assessments, but having a tone set at the top is really important to managing AI risk. If you're interested in working with Stack Aware or talking to me, please look me up on LinkedIn, Walter Haydock. I check my DMs every day, so would be happy to talk to anyone who is interested in help in implementing the standard.
It's been a great pleasure having Walter Haydock, founder of Stack Aware, join us today to really get us thinking more clearly about AI risk management and compliance. So thank you for joining us today, Walter.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or want to hear from a specific guest, contact us at gopi.com. That's G-O-P-I, gopi.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes.